hello and welcome to our latest edition of Science with Knob Jokes.
Science with Knob Jokes.
So my name is Dr. Sam Godfrey, I'm a scientist, and Daisy, what do you bring to the table?
Well, I'm Daisy Eyre, and I'm almost a scientist because I've got a background in theology, which is probably the best of all the sciences.
Your argument is that it's an ology, is that?
Yes.
That like geology and physiology and...
biology.
Chemistrology.
Yep, got it.
So geology, rock science, biology, science of living things.
Theology, science of Jesus.
Science of Jesus.
Yeah.
Cool.
So we can postulate as to how the world was formed, just like scientists can.
Yeah, exactly, just like it. And the great thing is, people say there's a divide between science and religion. We're bridging that.
No, I don't like you. There is.
I'm bridging that. It's a one-directional bridge to Daisy.
Okay.
Daisy, so in this podcast, the reason I've dragged you into this warm, small room is we're going to talk about amazing science. Science which grabs your attention, and it'll mostly be about humans or human-related biology, because that's my specialty, but I'm going to weave in a bit of physics occasionally, because, I mean, physics is pretty sexy.
If you say so.
Look at Coxie, Brian Cox. Oh, stud.
He's not for me.
Physics stud.
Well, I'm really just here for things that I can tell my friends in the pub afterwards, so I'll get a bit of that.
But you will get a bit of that. Hopefully, you'll have enough to distract people from having to talk to you and hear what you've got to say.
I think my friends are going to be delighted.
Sam's meaty story.
So, first science story. So, you know antibiotic resistance, right?
I do know it, yes.
Right. So, this is when bacteria get all super tough and they're able to fend off our best antibiotics, and it causes problems. It causes people to get sick. So, they get things like MRSA, which
is that the hospital one?
The hospital one that grows up your nose.
I read the Daily Mail.
Lots of the super bug.
Yeah.
I always imagine it in little pants, like flexing.
Yeah, pants over its trousers.
Yeah. And it stands for methicillin resistant Staphylococcus aureus, which is.
Did you have to practice over?
I got it on paper in front of me. And MRSA for short. That's what I said.
Yeah, let's go with that.
It.
Yeah.
And it's a bit of a. Bit of a dick,
bit of a
because
bastard.
It can resist penicillin, and that's annoying. And so we're now looking for other ways of standing up to these bacteria and coming up with these new ways of fighting them. And I was reading the other week about this fantastic bit of work that's happening in America.
Okay.
And what I didn't realise is bacteria, you kind of think of them as things that like maybe make you ill. They're like pathogens that sort of attack you, germs, if you will. But they also are permanently at war with each other. They're always like fighting and struggling against
this
each
other.
This
sounds very counterproductive.
Yes.
How do they get anything done?
They don't. I mean, what empires have they built? None.
It sounds a bit, you know, like the Middle East.
Have you just compared an entire region of the world, the people in it, to bacteria?
Conflict ridden.
Well, you're
difficult.
Right, because what these guys did is they took some bacteria, a type of bacteria called cholera, Vibrio cholerae. Do you pronounce Latin? Did you ever study Latin in your...
Cholerae.
And your facial expression and utter confidence as you said that was fantastic.
Thank you.
So these bacteria, what they do is they have attached to them this weapon that it's like a little spike that comes out of them, a bit like a harpoon, if you will. It's known as a type 6 secretion system.
No.
Nope. I have a type 2 secretion system.
No, stop it.
Count as a knob joke? Are we contractually obliged to get knob jokes into this podcast?
Like out of this contract.
So anyway, it's a little poisonous weapon and they use them to stab and impale other bacteria, stabbing it in to try and rip them apart, and then they pop like little water balloons and die. And what these scientists did is they took two types of cholera, and the individual cholera bacteria are immune to the stabs of their own buddies, as it were. They're kind of immune to friendly stab. Friendly stab?
Friendly fire.
Am I regretting that? No, because it's not fire, is it? They're not got fire.
No, but I'm trying to give you a phrase that makes sense.
Imagine I said a really witty riposte.
I could imagine it, but it would take a lot of imagination, wouldn't it? Carry on.
Right. So what they did is they dyed these cholera bacteria, and some of them they dyed red and some of them they dyed blue. And from the two different competing armies, and they mixed them all together and went down a microscope. What you see is this purple field of view, because they're all mixed in amongst each other. And they're all tiny little microscopic things, far smaller than you can see with the human eye. But they all start fighting each other and they start stabbing and popping. And gradually, a bit like in a game of Risk, you start to get continents start to become owned by one tribe, effectively. So you start to get these almost little empires forming of entirely blue bacteria, entirely red bacteria, where these vast opposing armies are now collecting against each other. And they're fighting and slashing and stabbing. And it's fascinating to watch. First of all, I'm thinking future world peace, no need for armies. Each country just raises its own little army of cholera bacteria. We could just put them to war against each other and go...
God, that's the worst idea anyone's ever had.
Right. The silence is my, wounded.
Are you Donald Trump?
Hey, you know what's bad? Uranium.
And you know what uranium is? That's you, but with cholera.
Yeah, it's exactly what I'm doing.
It's nuclear weapons.
So this isn't nuclear weapons, Daisy. This is bacteria. The reason this is potentially useful is this cholera bacteria, they're what's called gram-negative. And so that it's the type of wall they have around them, like the skin of them, effectively. And they've got a particular type of skin. And all the bacteria that have got that same type of skin are called gram-negative. And they're the ones that often make you ill. Our gut bacteria, mostly gram-positive, and it keeps us healthy. It's the stuff you drink in Yakult, you know, the friendly bacteria to top up your immune system.
Oh, so that's not nonsense.
No, there's something to it. If you have too much antibiotics, you end up losing your gut bacteria, and it's potentially very dangerous. So they have to
top up with Yakult.
Well, that's one way. They tend to do what's called a fecal transplant, actually.
Oh, I'd prefer the Yakult.
Yeah, it used to be done in orange juice, so it was a lump of poo juice. But
no, we've
moved
gone down
on
a bad path. Abort, carry on.
You've not even seen what I've got later on to talk about.
No, I don't want to. I'm out.
If we could take these bacteria, these warming bacteria, and we could set them loose in the gut, they could potentially tackle harmful bacteria. If someone's got a gut infection, and they even think that sometimes imbalance in the bacteria in gut might cause a lot of diseases. This is questionable science, but I'm thinking things like Crohn's and irritable bowel syndrome may have its roots in that. And rather than trying to use antibiotics, which are going to hit everything out, these cholera bacteria are only going to stab gram-negative ones. Of course, you don't want them to lose the battle. So what they've done is they did some mathematical modelling and they found they can predict exactly how much bacteria is needed to win the war, and the bacteria behave exactly as the maths predict.
So it's their very own two-state solution.
It is. You're coming strong with the politics there, aren't you? Wow. Daisy Eyre, political powerhouse.
Supreme.
So anyway, that was a bit of science. What do you think of it?
I liked that, Sam.
Yeah? Oh, thank you.
I know I objected a lot at the time, but I did enjoy it, actually.
This is very kind. The nicest thing you've ever said to me.
I know. Don't get used to that. I would like to give that out of 10 ohms, which I believe are a thing.
Ohms, it's the unit of resistance.
Oh, well, where's the thing? It's just a word I'd heard.
This is your research, wasn't it? You racked your brain, GCSE science, for a science word.
Yeah, and it came up with ohms.
I like it. It's a nice word.
It's a really pleasing to say. Ohm. I would like to give that 9 ohms.
9 ohms out of 10?
Yes.
Wow.
I don't know what the top number of ohms possible is.
You did say 10, though.
No, but in science, I mean.
Oh, right. How many ohms?
Is there an upper limit of ohms?
15 ohms. You can't have more than 15
ohms.
You've
made that up, Sam.
I've made it up entirely.
Why do you do this to me?
Because sometimes you believe me and then it's really funny.
I never believe you.
Not anymore, no. No, you've lost the trust. Yeah. Next feature for our podcast.
Are we going to go with feature?
It's a feature.
Are we that confident?
Yes,
okay.
This is a feature. This is a feature.
Back on then.
This is rapid fire.
Fit science.
Science is difficult. It's years of work to get one research paper out that can then be boiled down into a couple of lines, and then people like me latch onto it and go, oh, wow, cool science, and just reduce someone's life's work into a few sentences, objectifying it effectively. Mm. It's the equivalent of walking into, I don't know, where's Michelangelo's David statue?
It's in Florence, isn't it? In the Uffizi.
Yeah, that's right. It's like walking there and going, not bad. And walking out again, just forgetting the fact that he spent ages carving this 15-foot-high statue and all sorts. That's what we're doing with science. I'm going to give you some amazing nuggets of science, and you're going to basically go hot or not.
Okay, yeah, I could do that.
Yeah.
I love objectifying things.
It's
my main reason to be.
It's horrible travelling on the tube with you.
Yeah. I'm a monster.
Lecherous. Way! Continuously.
Tinder's just a game to me, really.
So, first one. You ready for this? Okay.
Come on, let me get in the zone. Yep, ready.
Limbered up.
Yeah, you know, stretches.
Yeah. So, forest fires.
They are hot, aren't they?
They are hot. They're done. What do you think? There we go.
Forest
number one
fires
done.
Definitely warm.
Hot.
Yeah.
Hot. forest fires are a bit of a problem. And then have you seen how they try and deal with them?
Forest fires are a bit of a problem.
Not if you're the giant sequoia, they're not, because I think they actually need fire as part of their life cycle. So it actually burns seeds and then you go. That's a little...
That was an
unplanned for aside.
Signs we didn't see coming.
I nearly dropped in one about cholera earlier, but I thought, no, I'll save that for another podcast.
You can't do all the cholera at once, can you?
All my cholera material.
You can't have too much of a good thing.
I am an idiot, and I'm also exceptionally sweaty.
Right,
so forest fires are pretty tricky to put out, often because forests are massive, there's a lot of fuel.
Is that science?
Yeah.
Forests are massive.
They are pretty big.
You're doing science.
You name me eight things more big.
Oh, right, okay. I will. Giants.
What kind of giant?
If you say David, gas giant, from I'll David and Goliath. No, Goliath,
he was like
rather.
7 foot.
Goliath was the giant. Not
he was
David.
Not bigger than, say, the Amazon rainforest. Because there's no way a little slingshot would have taken him down.
All right, the giant from Jack and the Beanstalk. He was really
accepted.
Big. Yeah, thank you. The beanstalk itself. Bigger than a forest.
The problem you've got is you can't easily get firefighting materials to these immense forests. And then when the wind picks up, I mean, towns get destroyed, animals. It's horrendous. Australia suffers really badly from them. George Mason University in Virginia.
I know it well.
Yeah, they have been testing this potential technique using drones to fight these forest fires. And what they're doing is they're going to try and attach speakers to the bottom and use sound waves to blast. Because sound waves is like a pressure. You can put out a fire by throwing a blanket over and starving oxygen.
Probably not a forest fire, though.
Probably not. But with enough drones blasting sound down on these things, they have found they can, at the right frequency, they can actually put out fire.
That's
with sound.
Nuts.
Yeah.
Right. So obviously that is hot.
That is hot.
But it's also not hot, but that's the good thing.
Well, I've lost you.
Because it's not on fire anymore.
Oh, I see. So it's hot but not hot is
But in all the good ways.
Would you go like, or would you go, meh?
I'd pinch its bum, yeah.
You'd pinch its bum, yeah. Which is hello for you.
But only if it wanted me to. Because consent is important. Even in this.
Can we make sure that perhaps just like the strap line for this, just consent is important. That's it. That's the message. Yeah. Daisy, this next one, this one is for you. So
they're all for me.
This one.
Who else are you doing this for?
In my mind, this is a live audience of hundreds of people, adoring fans.
Blind dates, Sam. Right, come on.
So the listeners don't know you. You're a heavily tattooed woman. Heavily tattooed. You got like dotted lines around your neck, big angel tattoo on your back, like David Beckham. A bit of picture of David Beckham on your
on my
back.
Face.
On your face. Yeah. You look identical to
David
Beckham.
Beckham.
It's really clever.
Hello, I'm David Beckham.
Getting tattoos removed, like, I mean, you've seen things like classic things like Johnny Depp changes Winona Ryder to Wino forever and stuff like that.
Elegant move.
Yeah, it's like, and tattoo fixers. Great series, quite enjoyable.
It's terrible. Have you seen the tattoos they do?
I quite
like. They're like, oh, can you cover up this tiny little stick, man? All right, yeah, I'll do a lion the size of your head.
Yeah.
Like, it's ridiculous.
But they cover it up, don't they? So,
I mean,
job done. What these guys are working on is, instead of using laser removal to try and burn away a tattoo, and it doesn't always work very well.
Sounds painful as well.
It does also sound painful. They're going to try a way of using your body's own immune system to actually attack and eat the tattoo ink. So you've got these white blood cells in our body called macrophages. And these are the ones that sort of patrol around and they eat bacteria and they eat, if a cell's infected with viruses, they eat that cell as well. And they're cool guys. I like them a lot. And
you're such a nerd.
Oh gosh,
what is wrong with you?
I've let too much slip. That's my confession. So it's actually my password, I heart macrophage. The idea was to have a cream that you would put onto the tattoo, and this would attract these macrophages to come along and eat the ink that is what keeps the tattoo there and give you blemish-free skin. So
so in response to that, I would say the macrophages do sound like pretty cool guys. And yeah, I'd go on a date with one.
Wow.
Yeah.
But would you ask its consent first before you...
You can't go on a date with someone if they don't want to be there, so... Well, you probably could.
That was my almost entire dating history. You know, many, they weren't aware I was
there.
It's
a miracle you're married, to be honest, because... Does she know you're married?
No. But persistence is my one move.
Yeah.
I've got one go-to move. It's just persist. I hang on in there, and sooner or later... I will be accepted. Right, okay, there we go. So you're saying...
Yeah, I'd say I'd go on a date with the macrophage, science. But I'd also say, guys, just think more carefully about your tattoos. Don't get a shit tattoo in the first place.
Life advice from Daisy Air.
Yeah, I would like to offer that piece of advice because... And we've seen a lot of bad tattoos, and you might have to go on tattoo fixes, and that would be terrible. Or you might have to get a macrophage to eat you from the inside, and no one wants that either, do they? I think all your options are terrible. Maybe I misunderstood the science.
Would you rather?
I know that you love a game of Would You Rather.
I love a game of Would You Rather.
Always banging on about it at work with whatever it is you do.
Who knows?
And. So I thought what I'd do is I'm going to give you a choice this week, and you are going to be joining a cult.
Oh, brilliant. Right,
and you get a choice of cult. What will happen when you do join this cult?
Yeah.
You will suffer the same fate as the cult leader, but I'm not going to tell you what it is until you've made your choice.
Right.
So this,
God, this
feature
is quite
may...
high stakes.
It's a lot
high
of effort's gone into
rather,
this.
Isn't it? Right,
this,
come
this
on.
Is a lot of thought. Okay, so the first cult, they're both, we're talking pre-BC, before your boy was about.
My boy Jesus
Your
Christ.
Boy Jesus Christ. Yeah. Whoop, whoop. Yeah. Before JC was about, first cult, Pythagoras. Right?
Ah, the triangles guy.
Yeah, triangles guy. So
you're so surprised that I've heard of that. That was GCSE maths.
No, I'm just excited. I'm just excited. I'm very easily...
Excited?
Yeah.
Okay, carry on.
Could have got an knob joke in there. It was too slow.
On,
too
on.
Slow. Right, so Pythagoras, he not only did he... come up with the Pythagoras theorem, but he said that natural phenomenon could be explained by mathematics, which is like the bedrock of a lot of science today. He was hugely influential in Plato's formation of democracy, so he was a big,
big
deal. He also founded his own religion, which you may not be aware of. And some parts of it were lovely. Like, for example, he believed that every person was half a soul, and that's why you meet your soulmate. It's the other half of your soul to connect. It's a beautiful, beautiful image. On a similar level, he also said it was one of his commandments that you must smooth out all bodily indents on pillows. That was key.
It is more comfortable.
Do not let swallows nest under your roof, Daisy. Do not.
That's good advice.
And finally, do not, under any circumstances, eat beans.
Oh, no, I like beans.
Right.
Right,
so
yeah.
That's cult A. Okay.
Right, got you.
So you're going to... Beans are evil. They're an abomination. They're...
But I'd know what to do with my triangles, wouldn't I?
You would know what to do with your triangles, yeah. So he's a pretty compelling cult leader. Mm. And he founded democracy, which, as we know, works really well these days. Okay, next cult leader you're going to go for, Empedocles. You may not have heard of him.
I have not.
He was a philosopher. I've written in my notes here, immense genius. So, yeah. He was 450 years before Jesus. So a little bit after Pythagoras, but not much. And he... As well as doing a lot of philosophy nonsense, like good stuff, probably. I don't get it.
Do you just call philosophy nonsense?
God, it's beyond my brain. My brain's too small to cope with it.
You're such a bigot.
Is that the word?
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know why I was so high-pitched for that.
What did you say?
So he showed that light has a speed, which is pretty
fine.
Good
yeah, got you.
Working out for 600 years before Jesus. The Earth was a sphere. That's what he said. He worked out centrifugal... force.
Oh, yeah.
I think technically it should be called centripetal force, but he said...
air. You can do that with him.
he said air is a substance, which
great.
Is also pretty... There's some people say that he even possibly shaped a little, had some ideas around evolution. So he did some seriously stuff, and he came up with an elemental theory that the world was made up of four elements. But he also believed he was immortal and could actually throw thunderbolts from the sky.
I think that's
and
too.
Try to get followers and convince them. So they are the two people you're going to pick from. Who are you going to have? And whatever ending befalls them,
befalls.
The same befalls. Yeah, northern. You might be pronouncing it wrong. whatever befalls them, that ending will befall you.
Right. So I can see that the second man, whose name I've forgotten,
Empedocles.
I can see that he did a lot of good stuff and was ahead of his time.
Right.
But Pythagoras has my heart.
Cool.
I'm going to join that cult.
Okay, good, good. So, I'll tell you first how Empedocles died. To prove his immortality, and I don't know if this is true, but there's a lot of poems written about it. He jumped into a volcano to show his godliness.
Do you know what? I like that he really went for it, though.
He did. He didn't hang around,
he
did
he? He is the epitome of go big or go home.
You know David Icke? Yeah. He really
he just
went
thought,
for it.
Fuck this. Jumped into the volcano.
Pythagoras, obviously, to be part of his religion, you also have to be a pacifist and a vegetarian.
Which I am.
So, to celebrate his theorem, he naturally slaughtered an ox.
Right.
Which is doesn't quite live up to his vegetarianism. And also, as a pacifist, he died in a fight, presumably, apparently, and this is, again, they haven't got great records or footage from back there, but he ran. One of the legends goes that he was running away from the people that he'd been fighting, and he reached a bean field that he couldn't cross. And he had his throat slit.
Do you know what? I'd quite like a good comedy death, so I'll go for it. Yeah, I think I made a really good choice. Yeah, I'm really
I think
pleased
you have.
With that.
That was, yeah. That was strong.
Well done,
that was
me.
Strong. Yeah. So, thank you for listening to our wonderful podcast. I've just given our podcast praise myself. I meant you were wonderful for listening to our podcast.
Our
and
podcast.
I was about to do inverted commas and realise that doesn't work in
no,
this
it's
medium.
Just a podcast.
No, it's just a podcast.
Just
thanks.
A podcast.
Cheers, guys. Yeah. Speak again.
Soon?
Soon.
All right.
Slick.
Science with knob jokes.
It's just been pointed out to me that because this podcast is called Science with Knob Jokes, we are contractually obliged to put in a knob joke, and my natural toilet humour didn't come through because I was on good behaviour. So, Daze, I've got a knob joke for you here.
Oh, God, all right then.
I'm laughing already.
I really hate knob jokes.
What do you call a puppet with a big penis?
Oh, God, what do you call one?
Well strung.
So stupid.